In a very direct way, St. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians today, expresses to them his mission, why he was sent. He says very clearly, I was sent to preach the gospel. And then he says something peculiar afterwards. I was sent to preach the gospel and not with the wisdom of human eloquence. This is kind of surprising. I think every preacher wants to preach with eloquence. They want to do a good job. They want to get better and better. But St. Paul, I think, recognizes something really important. Even if I preach the best sermon, even if I preach the gospel flawlessly, it's powerless without the power of Christ. And I always try to remember this as a preacher. I do my best. I try to prepare. Even I've heard the best preachers, they preach with one Bible in the hand and a newspaper in the other, or it's a little outdated now, so maybe it's their smartphone with their favorite news app in their other hand. But the best preachers preach with both of these in mind, the scriptures, God's revelation, his word to us, but not just in a historic way, but in a way that's relative and practical for today, for whatever's going on in the media, in our news, in our world, that these two things are kind of held in tension by the best preachers. And then sometimes when I'm preparing to preach, even this weekend, I'm given extra challenges, mostly by the church. It's this feast day. It's this celebration. Today, we have three. I feel like I'm part of a cooking show sometimes where I'm given all these ingredients and, okay, create something beautiful and delicious. The three ingredients the church gives me today on top of the scriptures and the context of our world, it's the week of prayer for Christian unity. And so we're right in the middle of this celebration and this recognition that the church is not unified. And so we want to pray for unity, and I want that to color some of my preaching and our liturgy today. Secondly, it's January 22nd. We know that's a big anniversary in the United States. 50 years ago today was the landmark Roe v. Wade decision, overturned this past summer. It's still something that we're mindful of. And the church asks us every year on this anniversary that there be prayer of protection for the unborn child. That's the second thing I'm trying to keep in mind today. And the third, if those other two weren't enough, Pope Francis just 3 years ago said, what if we made the third Sunday of Ordinary Time Sunday of the Word of God? And it's a special recognition of God's revelation to us through his word. So I'm looking at all these things and wanting to be that good preacher. So I'm going to try to hold them all in tension. Put on your seatbelts. We might be in for a rocky ride. But I do believe it's the Lord's power and it's the Lord's goodness that animates any sermon, that animates any preacher. And looking at the readings today, I see just a very practical and helpful theme, especially with all of these things in mind. And the theme is light. We keep hearing about light in the readings today. First from the prophet Isaiah, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in a land of gloom, a light has shone. This image of light given to us by the prophet, it's repeated in the gospel too, that those who are in darkness have seen a light. Those who are in a land of death have been given life. And we chanted it back and forth during the psalm too. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? This message of light, I think, touches all of these things that the church wants us to remember today. What does light do? Light reveals what's already there. Light brings clarity. Light brings truth. If I'm in a dark room or there's some dark corner of my house, if I shine a light there, it reveals what's present. And I think this is exactly what happens with God's revelation. God shining the light of his truth into darkness makes present what's there. He, of course, does this through the revelation of his son, Jesus. The Father sends the Son to earth to scatter the darkness, to bring life where there was death. And this is exactly what his revelation does continually in our world. It brings light. It brings clarity. Now, sometimes we might struggle with this light. Think about if you're in a cave and somebody comes and boom, brings a spotlight. That's going to hurt your eyes. You're not going to see so clearly right away. But as your eyes adjust, things become clearer and clearer. And you can see, oh my gosh, I didn't even know I was standing next to this stalactite or stalagmite. I don't know, I always get those confused anyway. And when your eyes adjust to this light, you're finally able to see exactly what was present. And I think this is a gradual way that God's revelation works on us too. Maybe something is difficult for us. Maybe something is confusing to us. Maybe something's hard and I can't grasp it and I can't make heads or tails of it. And one person says one thing and another says another. So who do I believe and how do I understand this? If I keep stepping into the light, if I let the light change my vision and broaden what is already there, gradually I begin to understand this revelation. Now I mentioned the Father reveals himself through his Son. He is the light of the world. That's what Jesus says about himself. And so this revelation of the Father through Jesus comes to us. It comes to us in specific ways. This Sunday, in the Sunday of the Word of God, Jesus is that Word made flesh. He's the Word spoken by the Father to reveal all that is true and good and beautiful. And his goodness and his presence is made real for us in the sacred scriptures, but also in the sacred tradition. This is the way that the Lord always reveals himself through the church. It's through his written word, his spoken word, and also through his word continually spoken throughout the generations through the tradition of the church. These two pillars are the ways that we make heads or tails of our world. It's the way that God continually shines light into things that are dark and confusing. And this light that's shown, this truth that's spoken, it's meant to bring us into greater unity. That all those men and women throughout the ages who have walked into the light might be unified, made one in the light. This is always the way that the Lord wants to work on us. He wants to bring unity where there's division. Now, we know that's not always the case. Even in our church, even in other churches and other religions, there's often disunity. But the Lord's plan from the beginning is to bring everyone into one. And it's why he shines this light. It's why he speaks this truth. It's why he wants to bring clarity where there is misunderstanding and division. Now, we know this has always been the case. St. Paul, he addresses the Corinthians with this today, speaking against this division and this disunity. But he says, I pray that there would be no divisions among you, that you be united in the same mind, in the same purpose. And he calls them out one by one. Some of you, you say you belong to Paul. Some of you say you belong to Apollos, some to Cephas. That you have these divisions and factions among you. You have these groups. Well, I follow this one, or I follow that one. But Paul reminds them, you don't follow any one person. You don't follow any one group. You follow the light. You follow Jesus Christ. That each of us would always say this. I don't just ascribe to this leader. I don't just ascribe to this dynamic person. I ascribe my heart. I follow with my life one, Jesus Christ. That I belong to Christ. We belong to Christ. If there's ever divisions, we always have to come back to that. Who do I follow? It's Christ. And Christ is the light of the world. Christ is the revelation of the Father. Christ brings unity where there's division. And when we follow and ascribe ourselves to Christ, we recognize that we are children of the light. It says this in from the Apostle John, you're no longer children of darkness, you're children of the light. But so often, I think, members in our own body were afraid to step more faithfully into the light. We prefer the darkness. St. John talks about this at the beginning of his gospel. There were those who preferred the darkness. But he reminds us, you are not of darkness. You are children of the light. And when we trust that light and step by step more faithfully into it, we recognized Christ is one. He cannot contradict himself. In the light, there's no contradiction. Christ and the truth can't be this and this at the same time. Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus is one. Jesus doesn't contradict himself. Jesus is constant, and his revelation to us is constant. It just takes me stepping more and more into that light. If I really want to be changed by it, if I really want my vision, my eyes, to be wide open. But to do this, brothers and sisters, we have to call light, light, and darkness, darkness. Can you imagine if someone were to try to convince us that what is dark is really light? It doesn't make much sense. It can't be both dark and light at the same time. It's the same with truth. Something is either true or it's not. Something is either good or it's evil. And in Christ, we begin to see these things more clearly by his revelation to us. If we step one by one, stepping into the light. Now, St. Augustine, I think he has a great way of helping us sort these things out, especially when there is division and there's things that I'm confused about or things that we hold in tension. St. Augustine, he says, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. I think this is really helpful for us to come to know. In what is essential? Unity. We have to be unified on what's essential. We have to come into one, into the light, and ascribe ourselves to what is essential. But in some non-essential things where there is debate, liberty. Let's give each other the freedom to wrestle and struggle and talk. But in all these things, he says, charity, love. We have to put on that love if we are truly to be that reflection of Christ's body in the world. If we are to take on that light that he wants us to spread. And so let's come into that light today. Let's thank the God for the revelation of his word to us. Let's thank God for drawing us more faithfully into one church. And let us follow the one Savior, Jesus Christ, ascribing ourselves only to him.